sights, you know you won't arrive. Oh my God, it sucks.
I was alright, I thought God was going to take over the ring. Well, some of you may have noticed, as we always say, we're kind of interactive news here, so we have some new tools given to us by BT, which helps with that. So those of you who are listening via Twitter will probably see or hear me say this message about 30 seconds after it posts, but it says, we'll take you for a ride on our garbage truck, or just tell you the news.
Very nice.
Good morning. Oh, man, I got the phone sex operator voice really working this morning. I'm sorry, y'all.
You know what, though? That is fine. We love your phone sex operator voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands above the desk, you at work. You in third cubicle back, second to the left. Mm-hmm.
We see you.
I sees you. Mm. Mm-hmm. I thought this song was appropriate given what we were talking about before the show. Wow. Loves me some Geek Boys. Wow.
Yes, yes, especially the ones who talk like that. Yes, yes.
Right? Okay, so you don't know what the hell we're talking about. You need to be playing Second Life with us. It's free, and this week is Machinima Week, so you gotta play.
Yes, yes you do. Yes, you do.
Now, you don't actually have to be logged into Second Life to watch the Machinima, but I believe you do have to have an account to access them because they have maturity ratings, because the good people at Linden Labs, you know, they were one of the first people to institute their own ratings areas inside their own game. That's hot.
Mm-hmm. Because they know some of us are crazy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And then some people, like Corey,
attract crazy just by standing around doing nothing.
Yeah, that is still not what I was going to say there, but yeah, that works.
I figured I'd interject because I know it was going to be wrong. Whatever you
mm-hmm.
do, wrong.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I got Special K. I am not worried about you. Mm.
She's got Special K, folks.
Some Special K and a banana.
She means the cereal, just so you know.
Oh, you're awful. A bad girl right there. Mm-hmm.
Only on days that end in Y.
Bad. So if you hadn't figured it out yet, you're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And
yes, you are.
I'm Corey. Who's that lady over there?
I'm Ginger. Crazy Ginger. Yes. Troublemaker galore.
That redheaded chick. Mm-hmm. What you got for the lovely peoples this morning?
I have got some bad news. There are going to be some ticked off people. Sorry. Almost said the wrong thing. Ticked off people this morning. Whew, too early for that. All right. So GamePolitics.com this morning is pulling the story from IGN. Diablo 3 requires constant internet connection in all modes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Saw that DRM, hidden DRM. Mm-hmm. But it is from EA people. What'd you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Blizzard today announced that it's hotly anticipated, no hyperbole, everybody wants to play it, they say. Action RPG, Diablo 3 will require players to be connected to a server at all times in order to play. They say when we say at all times, we mean even when you are playing the single-player game. Blizzard also announced that players will be able to create up to 10 characters, which will be stored in Blizzard servers.
Let me correct myself before we start getting text messages.
Yes, not EA.
Not EA, Blizzard. I'm looking at a story from EA is where that came from.
That I was like, wait a minute, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm crazy.
All right, so this is the main reason why you will need to have a constant connection to a server. This always connected scheme applies to all game modes, including cooperative play, single player, and multiplayer. Not good. All right, so Rob Pardo, Blizzard's executive producer for Diablo 3, claims that this was done to fight against the kind of hacking that previous Diablo games fell victim to. He says, in Diablo, and especially in Diablo 2, I think the intuition for a lot of people when they're playing the game is, I want to make my character offline away from that scary Battle.net environment, says Pardo. And then once I have this powerful character, I'll jump online. The problem with that concept is we can't really detect if they're cheating. They might have the capability to hack their character, things like that. So at that point, we can't really allow the character to be in the Battle.net environment. Then they're going to have to restart their character, which is exactly what happened in Diablo 2, which was really unfortunate. Your character will be online on Battle.net the moment you start playing. You can also play a solo experience like you could in Diablo 2. It's just your character is on Blizzard servers and authenticated. This character can then hop into multiplayer games and trade items with others through Battle.net. chances are players will not be happy with this constant connection business, which is similar to what Ubisoft has been doing with select game titles to facilitate its horrible DRM scheme. Yes, so they say we'll continue to follow the story and bring you reaction to it as it rolls in. I am hearing the reaction now. I can just hear the grumpy, ticked off people. You should not have to be on a server connected to the internet to play single player. You just cut out.
If I was even thinking about playing now, I'm definitely not.
Yeah.
I've had the DRM experience with The Sims, and it was not pleasant. No. And I'm putting it nicely. Bad move, Blizzard. Bad move. All right. Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
My voice is just like not going any higher than this. This is it. This is all you get this morning. And
She's so tired.
I'm actually not tired. I feel pretty good. Yeah, I actually feel pretty good. I'm a little crazy, but I'm good. I'm alert. I know my name and my date of birth, my social security number, where I live. I know all that stuff. Yay. My voice is just not cooperating. Okay, but those of you out there that are EA sports fans, I don't sound anything like myself. This is weird.
It's hot. Talk more to this story.
Hands above the desk, Ginger.
What if I don't want to?
Yeah, put your hands above the desk where I can see them.
Oh, but it's... Oh.
I'm going to make you turn on your cam so I can see that you have your... Yes.
No, I might actually have to get dressed. No.
Oh, stop telling our secrets. Okay. Well, EA Sports is launching their season ticket subscription service. This is coming from GI.biz this morning. EA Sports has launched an annual subscription service called Season Ticket for its core franchises. The annual fee is about 2,000 Microsoft points at the time of that this article was written. An official cash figure, of course, wasn't available because, as we all know, Microsoft points fluctuates. A lot of people didn't want to cop to that, but it does. It will give subscribers access to 4 exclusive benefits across all of the 4 franchises. Come on, work with me. Peter Moore told GI.biz, says, we've been talking to consumers in the U.S. and over there in Europe about the type of thing they would like to see that they aren't currently getting from their EA Sports experiences. He says it's very important to communicate that this doesn't change anything about EA Sports other than to add a layer on for people who are interested in those areas. It doesn't subtract or detract in any way from the core experience. Season ticket holders will be able to download and play the full version of the latest version of each game 3 days before it's released. Really? The download will expire on launch day when the user will be able to purchase the game through conventional channels, taking any experience or achievements earned with them. The other benefits are a 20% discount on all EA Sports DLC, including Ultimate Team Packs, Accelerator Packs, and Gear Upgrades, free premium web content, and a membership recognition badge displayed in-game and on the user's EA Sports profile. More highlighted also, the early access and discounted DLC benefits as the brain behind the program. I love that they spelled it French with M-E on the end. And claim that the initiative is not about making a profit in the early going. It's about figuring out a price that isn't going to eliminate a huge amount of people for the value that's delivered. I think $5 should do it, Peter, honestly. Says we took it to consumers and asked what they thought. And the price we landed on is around 2,000 points. And we think it's a great price. I think it's too much. That's like almost the cost of her. One ticket at a real game. Season ticket is further evidence, of course, of EA's commitment to growing its digital business, with EA Sports Vice President Andrew Wilson recently speaking at both the Develop Conference and directly to GI.biz on the subject. The service covers EA Sports, FIFA, Madden NFL, and NHL Hockey, and also Tiger Woods PGA Tour franchises. It'll be available in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand for Xbox 360, and North America for PlayStation. Of course, you can head over to GI.biz if you want to check out some of the features that it's going to have, other features that it's going to have. I'm not thinking this is going to work out well. Go ahead, Ginger.
No, I said I agree.
Well, I'm thinking...
Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned.
So was I. Here's my thing, and you guys out there can correct me if you're mistaken. Guys generally have one, maybe two sports that they're really hardcore about. And for the U.S., one of them is not even listed here, which is going to be basketball. So why is it not that you don't have the ability to do them individually? Maybe you should break that up. Maybe I don't want all four. Maybe I just like the hockey, and I don't really care about football or Tiger Woods. Or maybe I just like Tiger Woods, and I don't care about the others, and I don't want to pay full price just for one. So probably should look at splitting those up and dropping the price. You know, maybe I won't pay five. Maybe I'll pay $5 just to play Madden. Although, me personally, no.
No,
I got an argument with the guys at another GameStop when I was in there the other day. They were playing Madden. I'm sorry. I may have turned somebody off from Madden forever. I showed him the glitch while we were playing. Well, he was playing, and I was standing behind him. He's like, oh, you like Madden? And I says, not really. He says, oh, most girls don't. I said, that's not why. He says, why? I said, there's a glitch. He said, what glitch? I says, go ahead and throw that pass right there, and I'll show you. And then when I showed him, he goes, I never noticed that. I said, it's been here since 98. How could you not notice? And he's like, oh, man, it cheats. I said, of course it does. So, yeah, I'm sorry, EA. Not really. Wait. I do have to share this really quickly.
Okay.
I found the cutest game, Ginger, stay away from it, at games.com. It is a free game called Vampire Physics. If you like...
Wait, what? Vampires?
Vampire Physics. Okay, and the object of the game is to turn the humans into vampires, but it kind of has a side-scrolling portal thing, kind of. It's not Portal. I want to make that clear. You're not teleporting the vampires, but you do have to figure out how to get them to the humans, sometimes past Garlic, sometimes past a priest or a rival vampire, and get to the human. And it is much harder than it sounds. Go check that out at games.com. I was playing that this morning since I was up and couldn't sleep.
No, I tried to sleep last night. Somebody woke me up, so then I was up till like 3.
That's time for cutting.
Girl, it was very close. I was like, I don't think you understand. I've not slept more than like 3 hours all week. Why are you waking me up?
20 minutes here. I'm just saying, good. I could kill somebody and get away with it today. I'm just saying.
Yeah, let's not be killing people. That'd be bad.
I'm going to be good.
All right, good. All right, so Foxconn's Rising Robotic Workforce. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Yeah, I have to read it just because it said robots. I like robots. Yeah, since I have the whole Roomba and the Scuba, I'm so spoiled. All right, so anyways, according to this VentureBeat report, a Taiwanese company, Foxconn, plans to eliminate some of its workforce with robotic workers. The company says that it will replace 1 million of its workers in China. Ooh, that's not good. In case you've forgotten, Foxconn is the company that found itself under scrutiny when several of its employees committed suicide because of its unacceptable working conditions. Mm-hmm. All right, so maybe it's better if they are using robots.
Yeah.
The company does contract work for several large technology companies, including Apple, Microsoft, Sony, Hewlett-Packard, and many, many more. Terry Gu, founder and chairman of Foxconn, said his company will use the robot to do some simple tasks, such as spraying, welding, and assembling work, which is currently done by workers. He made the announcement at a workers' dance. Oh, not good. That's tacky. All right, he made the announcement at a workers' dance party on Friday night, according to the report. This is probably not considered good news by attendees, as these robotic workers will cut into the labor pool. Currently, Foxconn uses around 10,000 robots. Next year, it expects to have 300,000 and 1 million in 3 years. The company has 1.2 million employees, and around 1 million of them work in the Chinese mainland. So in other words, it looks like they are quickly going to replace their entire workforce with robots. Sorry, guys. That sucks. And how dare you do it at a party? You throw a party for your attendees, for your workers. Hey, everybody, y'all done such a good job. Let's go party. Oh, by the way, next year y'all are all fired. Jerks.
Well, somebody got to monitor those robots or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, somebody's got to keep them running, got to keep them oiled, got to make sure they don't take over the world.
And this is why, people, that you always update your skills, learn everything you can.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm teaching a young Jedi in Second Life that wants to be a game developer about learning everything, because he likes to build, make things. He's really good, but he's like, well, do I really need to learn programming? I said, you don't need to, but it sure would get your foot in the door. It would help a lot. If you want to do anything programming, the things you want to know, programming art. So know everything you can. So when the robots come, hey.
Yeah, you'll know where to shoot them.
That is not what I was saying. Not what I was getting at. She's talking about me. Don't kill anybody, but she went straight for the shooting.
Hey, it's robots and they're taking our jobs, man. They're taking our jobs.
Taking our jobs. They took our jobs. Yeah, I can't do that voice. I was thinking that, but I can't pull off that voice.
They took our jobs.
They took our jobs or something. I don't know.
Oh, that is hilarious. Okay. I had forgotten all about that. Thanks a lot, Ginger. Now it's going to be stuck in my head all day. I'm going to be walking around saying, we took our jobs all the rest of the day. All right. So here's something I didn't actually know because I never planned on using this. Skype for iPad is finally available. I'm also over at Venture Beat where Ginger's fermenting at present, turning into fine wine that she is. After a few well-publicized launch mistakes, the highly much-anticipated Skype for iPad is finally here. Yay. Skype for iPad is beautifully redesigned and optimized for the iPad. This is from Rick Osterlaw, who's the head of product management for Skype. And on the company's official blog, he says the large iPad screen is preferred for bringing Skype video calls to life in either landscape or portrait view. And because it's on iPad, Skype video calls can be made at the beach, in a car, or even lying on a couch. No, they cannot, Rick. You have to have a plan for that. You have to pay for internet for that. You can't just fire it up anywhere. Quit lying to people. Of course, after a leaked launch video about a month ago, the app was prematurely launched early Tuesday morning and immediately pulled from the App Store. To ensure your best Skype experience, we've temporarily removed Skype for iPad, which went live prematurely yesterday, the company said via Twitter. And now, just hours later, the official version is out. The Skype iPad app is a better general video is a better general video calling solution than Apple's FaceTime because it works across multiple platforms, including PCs, Macs, iPads, iPhones, and Android devices. We all know this. The app, of course, does everything you expect it to do with two-way video calls, instant messaging, SMS texting, and even works over both 3G and Wi-Fi. Skype is not the first all-platform video chat iPad app out of the gate. Fring, a similar but usually lesser quality service, launched its own iPad app in late June. The app was notable in that it offered free group video chat, which is kind of hot. Not what y'all are thinking. Hands above the desk, people. Additionally, Skype made news recently when it partnered with Facebook to bring free one-on-one video calling to Facebook for more than 750 million users. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg hinted that more features such as a group chat will be coming in the future. No, 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 Mark. No, no, no. I say it's hot, but I don't really want it. Stop it. Microsoft paid $8.5 billion to acquire Skype back in May, and the deal will go through as long as regulators approve. The deal means Skype will likely see integration with popular Microsoft services such as Kinect, Windows Phone 7, and Office 365. What do you think about this, Ginger? Sorry, muted myself while I was munching. I'm thinking that, what is that new service? The Google Plus, there we go. I'm thinking Google Plus needs this and is not going to get this because Microsoft is horrible and bought it out.
Well, this is going to be difficult. I'm not thinking that Google Plus won't get it. It's going to cause a nice little three-way fight. I think there needs to be oil and mud involved between Microsoft, Facebook, and Google Plus.
What about Jell-O?
Jell-O is good, too. I vote for lime.
Ooh, lime Jell-O. That sounds good.
Lime Jell-O looks good on a fight.
Oh, I don't have a feeling Corey has tested this before.
It looks real good. Okay.
All right. I got to hear that story later.
Wow. I got something else I forgot to tell you this morning. See, we have some good gossip going on before we get on with you guys. I have to keep an eye on the board because you all would get an earful of things y'all don't need to be hearing. Really. Hands above the desk.
Y'all hung out with us? Y'all would.
Ooh, yes. Come hang out with us on Thursday nights. Then you get to hear all that deep, dark, and dirty.
Is that Landmark?
Yeah, driving out. Yes, I do. yes, I do.
All right. Well, I guess it is my turn now that I'm all like not thinking about that. Corey, you kill me. You so kill me.
I'm a good girl.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Hey!
Ow!
See? That's what you get for.
I know. What the heck? All right. So, Lego Star Wars promo game racks up 10 million plays in record time.
Wow. That's your game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And game created to promote new Lego Star Wars toys and video game hits annual traffic targets 30 weeks ahead of schedule. 30 weeks! Holy crap, people. All right, so Lego Star Wars Ace Assault, and I have to slow that down to make sure I say that correctly, Ace Assault, an online game created by 4T2 Multimedia, has clocked 10 million visits in 22 weeks. This surpasses the annual traffic target set by Lego for this project 30 weeks ahead of schedule. A winner at the recent News Media Age Effectiveness Award, developers 4T2 Multimedia's expertise was called upon to create this game to promote the new LEGO Star Wars toy range and video game from TT Games. In addition to reaching the 10 million mark sooner than expected, the game is registering an average playtime of more than 11 minutes and a return rate of over 60%. Yasmin Jensen from LEGO states, "This game is a cornerstone of the digital marketing campaign and is and an integrated part of the overall marketing strategy. We were anticipating the game would be a great success, but this has exceeded all of our expectations." Mike Hawkyard from 4T2 Multimedia adds, "The next release in this campaign is currently under production with many iconic starships and additional play modes being added. 10 million visits is awesome, but we hope that this is just the beginning." That is awesome. All right, so if you want to check this out, you can go over to starwars.lego.com/games. And I'm going to head over there now and go check
it out. No, bad ginger.
It's already open.
I do believe my voice is starting to come back. Not really. It's getting worse. Okay. Well, Doom creator John Carmack says that violent video games reduce real-world aggression and that the ongoing debate about the effects of video games has been irrelevant for years because gaming has become a mainstream activity. And this is over at GamePolitics.com. You can pop by there and check this out. But let me share with you the rest of it. The founding father of id Software and the driving force behind such hit as Wolfenstein, and I say Wolfenstein, some of you say Wolfenstein, don't really care, just play the damn game, Doom and Quake, which is, of course, a series of first-person shooters, claims that he never took the violence in video games debate seriously. He said, "People just play games now, and I never took seriously the violence in the video games debate. It was basically talking points for people to get on CNN and espouse their stuff on there." This is what he told industry gamers in a recent interview. In fact, he thinks that the research is showing the opposite of what the anti-gaming groups believe. He says, "And I really think, if anything, there's more evidence to show that the violent games reduce aggression and violence," he continued. "There have been actually been some studies about that it's cathartic. I believe it is, at least for me." He says, "If you go to QuakeCon and you walk by and you see the people there and compare that to a random cross-section of a college campus, you're probably going to find a more peaceful crowd of people at the gaming convention." That is very true. I think it's at worst neutral and potentially positive. You can, of course, check out his comments at GamePolitics.com or over at IndustryGamers.com. And he is so right. There has never, in any years I've been to a gaming event, been a fight. Never.
And no, well, I've heard of a couple, but it's more, it's not usually the actual attendees as it is the big names.
Yeah.
They get drunk and then get stupid. "Don't you know who I am?" "No, we don't care. You just played our favorite person in this game."
Well, I have been to PAX, E3, a couple of PAXs, E3s. So there have been a couple of events we've had here that I can't remember because, you know, they all start to run together. Never seen anybody break into a brawl about, "Oh, you stepped on my shoe." Or, "Dude, I was in line first." There's never a fight. I mean, people get aggravated, but for the most part, gamers are pretty peaceful people.
Yes, we're kind of lazy.
Yeah, who wants to fight when I can just play? You're breaking my trigger finger. I really don't want to fight. Then I can't game. I get my arm broken or something. No, the most they want is, "You know, break my leg. I can stay home and play games." And even now with all the Kinect stuff, I don't really want you breaking my legs either. I can't get up and move around and play my games. I'm not understanding. I mean, and ironically, some of the more popular professional gamers, he's going to kill me. Oh, God, he's going to kill me. I'm sorry, John. I can't think of your gamer to fatality. Oh, I'm so dead. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't cut me. Him and Walshy, two of the sweetest guys I've ever met. And they're pretty handsome guys when you meet them in person, but very soft-spoken and quiet, unless they're playing a game. They really don't say much at all. And you would think that they would be, you know, asses. But they're not. I don't get where this aggression correlation is, And these guys actually do this for a living. They play all day. If anything, they should be the most violent people on earth, according to game studies, right? Because that's what they do for a living. But they're not. They're just sweet, quiet. Never had anybody say anything untoward. Little harmless flirting. Be a hug,
a little harmless flirting.
I said maybe a little hug too tight every now and again, but nothing.
Who groped who? What?
I didn't say groped. And it was not a gamer who groped me. That was 50 See, he's not a gamer. He thinks he is. He had that game, but he's not a gamer.
He had a game. Or he had a game of some sort.
Two games. But he is not a gamer. Ginger isn't teasing me this morning. Because I am tired that I am not catching on, but I want to find you in Second Life. And I'm going to find a way to train something onto you, bats or something, because I know what. Ooh, you know what? I am going to get some bats. It's on, sister. I'm going to the black store and get me some bats, and I'm just going to walk up to you and say, attack, and they're going to jump on you.
No. No.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice. Be nice.
It'll be nice. I like it.
Oh, there's a fly. All right. So.
No, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know you totally sicked it on me.
That's our role.
All right, so Ice-T and Body Count lay down a soundtrack for Destruction in the new Gears of War 3 Horde trailer, which I tried to find, but they only wanted to give me ones I had to download, and yeah, I'm not about that. So
may have grabbed one, maybe.
All right, awesome. Just when you thought Gears of War 3's Horde mode couldn't get any more intense, Microsoft and Epic Games today released an explosive new gameplay trailer for the upcoming blockbuster featuring an exclusive new track from Body Count entitled The Gears of War. After getting the band together for a surprise concert during E3 at the Gears of War 3 Horde showcase, fans of the world over are now getting their first taste of Ice-T's lyrical contribution to the final chapter in the Gears of War trilogy based on his experiences as a hardcore Gears player himself.
And he is, good God.
Mm-hmm. Ice-T of Body Count says, I've always been a big fan of the game and got to play a lot of the new ones during development. I play the character Griffin, so when I was invited to also record a new track, the lyrics came pretty quick. Body Count's The Gears of War and the game's official soundtrack will be available in conjunction with the launch of Gears of War 3 later this autumn. All right, so if you want more information on Gears of War 3, you can go to xbox.com/Gears of War 3. That is one word, just so you know.
When they say he's a hardcore Gears addict, at first I said no, but I do watch the reality show with him and his wife because I just had to see if this woman was anything like I thought she was. She's really sweet. She doesn't look like it, but she's just sugar. But every time you see him in the show, that's what he's playing. Every time you see him, every show, for a good portion of the show, he's sitting in the chair, and that's what he's doing. It's like, I had no idea. You were such a gamer.
Very nice.
That's nice. 50 Cent can't say that. I bet he has the controller upside down when he's holding it. But anyway.
We're going to get a phone call later.
I say bring it. I say bring it, 50. Bring it. Because I'm just going to say, I'm pregnant.
You go right now? Let's go.
Look, no, I'm pregnant. I'm going to need some money.
And he'll probably be like, crap, probably is mine. All right, let's just not even fight.
I'm going to produce the picture. Me and this girl are pregnant with your kid.
Hot.
You don't remember that night? He's probably like, no. That's exactly.
yes.
All right, so I just found a simulation. It's bad, people. It's bad, kids. It's bad. This is from Klaipėda, Lithuania. Yes, I don't know where that is, but I like it. Real Lore Studios proudly announces that their popular PC game, Farm Mania, is finally available for iPad owners. Based on a well-balanced action... Yeah, you guys are not American at all. Your PR people aren't, are they? The game features 60 challenging levels in arcade and casual modes, 12 hidden object minigames, and the variety of challenges one must face and high replayability value. The game provides long hours of diverse agricultural fun for both casual and hardcore gamers. Right. The action takes place on a colorful campaign map. The player's mission is to build up an old farm from zero to hero. To complete it, users should not only plant and sell crops, but also water and feed multiple animals, as well as bake tasty pies and cake. Really? make warm scarves and gloves.
Tasty pies and cake.
Yes, and make warm scarves and gloves and implement modern technologies and their own know-hows to make the farm of your dreams. Oh, God. I'm going to contact their PR people and say, no, Ginger can write these. Don't do it. Just let Ginger do it. A wide range of available upgrades lets users improve their speed, harvest more products. Yeah, you like writing, so might as well. Might as well make. They need help.
What about it?
That's right.
Don't play this, but hey.
Chris, stop it. It's a sim. You know I like sims. You can harvest more products, ship out more goods, and increase their working efficiency. Time management game fans will love Frantic Arcade Mode, where users have to complete certain goals in a limited time frame, while casual strategy lovers will enjoy the Untimed Casual Mode. A jaunty musical soundtrack nicely complements the on-screen farming fun, while beautiful HD graphics and lively presentation makes Farm Mania HD a truly pleasant game to play. As an added bonus, Farm Mania HD players can take advantage of the online leaderboards via the Apple Game Center, which I'm on and didn't know. Since the PC version of Farm Mania proved to be a real hit game, occupying top positions of well-known portals and charts, we decided to bring this title of ours to the iPad platform. Having sold a great number of its PC copies, we're sure that Farm Mania HD will now attract thousands of new iPad players and bring them hours of unforgettable fun. This is from Natalia Mativa, head of the business development over at Real Lore. Of course, have you already done this one, Jen? Do I need to put this link up for these lovely people?
Not quite for sure.
Well, in the meantime, I can put up a YouTube trailer so you can take a look. I am not sure about this one at all because I'm not understanding the correlation between making sweaters and pies and running a farm.
Me either.
Yeah, because I make... I knit gloves and scarves and stuff, but I don't also go outside and plant seeds while I'm doing it and then bake pies. It doesn't usually all go together.
No. Not so much. Not really.
So I don't know what y'all doing over there.
What was that?
That was the YouTube video that I'm to watch. All right. For our listeners, you know how I roll. We like to be active. You can go check it out now if you want to. It's ready.
All right. I've got some interesting news for this being a hit seller.
What?
Duke Nukem Forever voted most disappointing release of the past 12 months.
Oh, come on. It's sold, though. It's sold.
I know
well.
It's sold. So according to new research from a games comparison and marketplace website, Duke Nukem Forever has been voted as the most disappointing video game release of the past 12 months, beating Dragon Age 2 to the top spot. All right. So it appears that while Duke Nukem Forever didn't set reviewers' worlds alight, it also failed to impress gamers themselves, with video game fans voting it as the number one most disappointing games release of the past 12 months. The study was conducted by gaming marketplace PlayR2.com. I'm guessing PlayR2.com. In order to find out gamers' opinions towards this year's video game releases, 1,671 self-confessed gamers took part. Those taking part in the study were asked which video games releases of the past 12 months were you disappointed by, if any. Respondents were able to choose multiple games dependent on which titles they felt most disappointed by. According to the results, the top 10 most disappointing video game releases of the past 12 months were as follows. Duke Nukem Forever with 41%. Dragon Age 2 with 39%.
What?
Crysis 2 with 36%.
Uh-uh.
L.A. Noire with 34%.
What?
I know! Brink with 32%. Killzone 3 with 30%. Dead Space 2 at 27%. Need for Speed Shift 2 at 24%. Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare at 21%. And Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Fate of the Two Worlds 18%.
You know what?
I think they got these backwards. Yeah.
I do too. Can't be, because everybody I see is playing these games and loves them.
Yes. I do believe they worded it funny, or somebody set this up, because, yeah, there's no way. And L.A. Noire at number 4 is the most disappointing? Are you kidding me?
As much press has gotten winning awards at Tribeca Film Festival?
Exactly.
No, I think not.
Yeah, I think this is set up. So, yeah, I'm not going to give you the name of this website again, because I think they're just trying to get press. Sorry, guys.
Wrong. All right, so I have to read this story. It came in late yesterday, but it's time we turn the tables on some other media outlets for doing some crazy wrong stuff. The Sun. totally misread Nintendo 3DS's price cut. This is also at Game Politics. I love it. It says that you have to love the dramatic and often over-the-top stories from The Sun. This is a UK newspaper, and they love to write stories that can be described as fictional. This is not to say that they lie. They just kind of play with the truth a little bit, you know. A case in point is a story that comes to the conclusion that the reason Nintendo slashed the price on its 3DS was because of claims made earlier in the year by the paper that the device made its users feel dizzy and sick. You guys remember that? Now, there's some truth to their story, though not about the claims that gave users vertigo. For example, they say that Nintendo admitted that 3DS sales did not meet expectations. That's a true statement, especially concerning Nintendo's president took a pay cut. They also wrote, quote, MCV, which is a very reputable publication by anyone's measure, said we all thought the 3DS would be popular, which as of yet hasn't really achieved. So far, so good. But here's where they get a little crazy. But The Sun revealed a number of gamers quickly complained that the 3D screen left them with headaches. Tele and radio presenter Jonathan Ross, a Nintendo champion, admitted he got headaches after playing the console for a long time. But others said that the cutting-edge screen had improved their vision. Industry exec last night said the biggest problem was that the game launched for the console simply weren't enough. One exec told Sun City, the 3DS just never really got going. Wow, improved vision.
And I'm all muted so you can't hear me?
No,
oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you really? Come on.
It improves your vision. Wow.
Some of y'all people are full of crap. That is all there is to it. Y'all are just full of it. Fakes, frauds. Oh my God.
Is The Sun owned by the same guy that owns all the rags? Like he owns News Corp, he owns Fox, he owns just everything.
Very possibly.
Wow. Well, he's under fire anyway. I'm thinking you're going to need to close down your papers and whatever have you. So, wow.
Yes. This is ridiculous. You ever noticed that when there's a fly, you can't find it when you have the swatter in your hand, but the minute you put the darn thing down.
I find a wet towel works wonders with killing flies.
I weren't on air. All right.
You whip it round over your head. No, let me cut it out.
I love you, Corey. All right, so Sony acquires infamous developer Sucker Punch Productions. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Looks like they pulled it from blog.seattlepie.com. All right, so Sony has acquired Bellevue, Washington-based Sucker Punch Productions for an undisclosed amount of money. The company is best known for the infamous series of superhero games for the PlayStation 3, along with the long-running Sly Cooper platformer, a series of games that have been the PlayStation family exclusives since their inception. The studios employ about 75 people and is located across from Microsoft's building at City Center Plaza in downtown Bellevue. Sucker Punch becomes Sony's second internal game studio in the Seattle area. I see you hear that, Microsoft. They're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the deal makes a lot of sense given that the developer of Sony Computer Entertainment America has been working closely together for more than a decade. Sucker Punch has not created a video game outside of the PlayStation family since the days of the Nintendo 64. Who is this? Brian Fleming, a manager partner at the studio. Oh my God, go away. So this, in a strange way, feels like it's your longtime girlfriend you're getting hitched to. Not a lot is going to change. That's what you think, dude. It's the same people as we've been working with for 10 years. Sucker Punch was founded in 1997 by three former Microsoft employees. Ooh, I didn't know that.
Ooh.
Fleming and co-founders Bruce Oberg and Chris Zimmerman met while working on email technology in Redmond. The three were interested in video games and decided that it was a good idea to open their own studio. Fleming says it's kind of unusual, it seems, for studios to start independently instead of spinning off from a studio. But for a little while, we were our own little Galapagos Isle with our own unique culture. Oh, that's so cute. Sucker Punch, now Redmond-based Zipper Interactive as a local... Sucker Punch, now Redmond-based Zipper Interactive as a local Sony gaming studio. Oh my God, I cannot talk. Sony's other internal gaming studios in the U.S. include Naughty Dog, Lightbox Interactive, and Sony Computer Entertainment Studios in Santa Monica, Foster City, and San Diego, California. Oh, and Bend, Oregon. So awesome. Way to go, Sucker Punch. Getting picked up by a bigger company. That means bigger paycheck. Hopefully.
Maybe. Not late. Possibly.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So lots of other news that has nothing to do with gaming. I just got caught up in. Anyway, I'm moving back over here because I'm out of order. All right. Oh, we actually, is it time for a break? We could take a quick break and come back so we can give you all a little bit of juice.
Yay,
before we cut off.
Maybe I can find the floor.
Please do not hurt yourself, Ginger.
I know. I've got one of those electric fly swatters. I'm surprised I haven't smacked myself in the face yet.
Electric fly swatter? You got to explain that one.
It's got batteries. You push buttons. When you hit the fly, it goes, and it does.
Oh. Does it work on humans?
Oh, yes, it does. It'll make your arm go numb.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a weapon.
Uh-huh.
Put that in my purse. Until I get my vengeance. All right, you guys know where to find us. GameAndAtrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. I'm a mercenary. You ain't got a prayer. And, of course, here on Vlog Talk. Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if you miss us.
Facebook, Twitter, Second Life, all kinds of places.
ABB.
I downloaded that. I gotta play that.
Yes. Also, apparently, I did want to mention this. A lot of you I saw on Facebook yesterday were complaining about your Fallen Earth account. You couldn't get in. It is a glitch. I believe they say they fixed. So you should be good to go by now. And if you're not, go over and join their Facebook page or like their page and then let them know. I was trying to talk over that part. At last. Oh, no, you did. It will be delicious when I get vicious tomorrow. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, there's you no second didn't. Chances. You will do the dance of sorrow. See, you have a fly, and my hair is wet, so it's like doing that, you know, that drippy thing on the back of your neck where it feels like something back there. Oh, it's time to cut this stuff again.
Yeah. You didn't pay me what you owe. You didn't pay me what you owe.
That's right. All right. See, there's our break. So you get us for another almost, 2 to 3 minutes before we go into non-streaming. Yeah. It's going to be evil. So VentureBeat has got an interesting story up this morning saying that Gravity 8 wants to measure your entire life. Mm-hmm.
Your entire life?
Yes. They want to become the Mint.com of your entire life by tracking everything you do, from your health to your community contribution, and displaying the results in a well-being wheel. The company just signed a partnership with health community MedHealth, which will anchor Gravity 8's health channel. MedHealth has 12 million users already. Will provide a selection of 50 tools and applications to Gravity 8. Gravity's mission is to measure, manage, and enhance its users' lives, like health, finance, relationships, career, community, spirituality, learning, and leisure. In health area, it integrates health and fitness tracking services like Nike Plus Run Tracker, the Withings Wireless Body Scale, and the Zio Sleep Monitor. Consuming content on a particular channel, such as health, builds up awareness credits. If you hit your running target for the week or keep your weight under a desired threshold, you get action credits, which boost your health score on the well-being wheel. There's also a social component, which where you can share data with those who have a shared goal. While there are plenty of health dashboards around, Gravity 8's unique selling point is that it focuses on a user's entire life and how they quantify it in a single dashboard. Your community contribution, for example, could be measured by participation in volunteering, contributions to charities, or loans made through Kiva. Sounds to me like y'all got a racket y'all are trying to build up. Tools in the relationship channels includes Facebook and paperless posts, while learning channel links to TED Talks and homeschooling curriculums. Wow. The lovely lady that wrote this article said she asked CEO Dave Walmsley whether well-being can really be measured. He says nobody has quite cracked the code here. Told me health and personal finance are much more easily measured. Simply measuring gets you closer to where you want to go. And we're going to start by doing health really well and starting the discussion on quantifying the other areas. They really like that word quantifying. I do too, but can we stop using it now? There are several aspects to the business model. There will be ads and articles on various channels. Gravity 8 will act as a distributor for the fitness gadgets and other measuring devices that it integrates into the platform. According to Walmsley, 15 million people in the U.S. already possess such a device. In longer term, the company may add additional services like personal coaching. Really? Maybe. I don't like the other stuff. Just give me the personal coaching. I'd like to have that.
Yeah.
MedHealth is expected to be the first in a series of partnerships to bolster the channels on the site. Setting its sights high, Walmsley told her also that we just want 8 of the 16 minutes per day Mark Zuckerberg gets from every Facebook user. Wow.
Wow.
Gravity 8 was founded in May 2010 and launched in 2011. It's based in Marin County, California, and has 6 employees, and, of course, it's privately funded. I'm not going to say it's not going to work, because the ironic thing is this is we've seen some variations of this in movies, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other things that we've seen in movies that I've been noticing that have somehow managed to find their way into our real-world technology. Even the Wii U pad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Guess where I saw that and didn't realize it. Where
did you see that?
The movie Despicable Me. You guys remember the bad guy? Well, the other bad guy, because they're both bad guys. In Despicable Me, he's playing the Wii, and then whatever he's doing with the Wii, he reaches over and picks up a pad. Looks just like the one that they showed us at E3. I was like, holy hell. Did they tell them beforehand?
Wow.
Or,
you know, I often wonder that, because some of this technology seems to come out right about the same time. It's kind of one of those, who's spilling the beans?
And, of course, we've seen iPad versions like Star Trek movies since ages and ages. They just now figured out how to do it. So,
yeah.
And I know I've seen some of this. What is it? Demolition Man, where they monitor your well-being, whatever have you. So it's possible you all may like it. I personally say leave me alone. You can't figure out what makes me happy with a wheel.
We are not gerbils.
Well, not all of us are.
Yeah. All right. I got some interesting screenshots of this up on our page, GameAndMatrix.com. Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 2. All right. So, developer Strand Looper Animation announces work on Senseless Acts of Justice is finished. All right. So, game scheduled for worldwide release in autumn.
Perfect time to release the game. Good time to release it.
Strand Looper Animation today announced the completion of the eagerly awaited follow-up to the critically acclaimed point-and-click comedy adventure game Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 1, We Negotiate with Terrorists. Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 2, Senseless Acts of Justice, has gone gold and will be released worldwide on iPhone, iPad, PC, and Mac by Telltale Games, who I love, by the way, this autumn. A poor advertisement for law enforcement, and also known as the first arse of the law, Detective Inspector Hector, is a flawed anti-hero with a taste for thieves, corruption, and lashings of curry sauce. Oh my god. All right, so that may explain the puking girl in one of those pictures.
All right. Wow.
Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 2, Senseless Acts of Justice, sees our anti-hero hunting a psychopath and pulled down a twisted trail of meat, sin, sleaze, and more meat. The new game promises to be even more crude and distasteful than the first in the series. The adventure introduces gamers to a whole host of new environments and colorful characters from the world of Clapper's Reek, the crime-ridden town in the armpit of Great Britain. Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 1, We Negotiate with Terrorists, saw Inspector Hector, forced to carry out a terrorist demands which involved porn shops, fake drugs, and donating to charity. We have made every effort to ensure Hector sinks even deeper into a pit of inappropriateness as the series unfolds. This is coming from joint MD of Strand Looper Animation, Richard Moores. Episode 2 sees Hector really coming into his own as he plumbs new depths in the depravity, degradation, and political incorrectness. Oh my god. Alright, so Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 2, Senseless Acts of Justice, features twice the gameplay as the original game, as Strand Looper has attempted to create the funniest, crudest, and most distasteful point-and-click adventure game ever. 6 screenshots have been released highlighting Strand Looper's captivating animation style, which is over on GameAndMatrix.com right now. Northern Ireland-based Strand Looper are also putting the finishing touches to the third episode in the Hector trilogy, scheduled for the release later in the autumn. And if the pictures are anything to go on, I want to play this game. I want to play this game. So y'all should send it to me. Yeah. GameAndMatrix.com, send it to me. Thanks.
Well, I know you probably heard all that noise. I'm so sorry, y'all. But you beat your hear that noise from the trailer. I saw something. Dark Meadow. Did we talk about that?
No.
The Dark Meadow. Okay. So, you know, we've been lamenting that there are a lot of terrible games on iPhone. Looks like Phosphor Game Studio said, you know what, we hear you. We hear you, ladies, over at Gamer Girls Radio. We hear you at GameAndAtrix.com, and we've got something for you. Okay, so I just added this lovely trailer for Dark Meadow to our channel, and I'll probably post it on Facebook shortly, but I got to tell you about it. Ah, amazing. Amazing.
Amazing?
Game. Amazing.
Really?
Yes, let me tell you. Let me tell you all about it. Of course, the official website has gone live. I do not know if we put up the story because, as I told y'all, I haven't been to sleep, so I don't know what I did this morning between 2 to 7 o'clock. No memory.
Wow. Not good, woman. Not good.
Yeah. But, of course, as Dark Meadow's release on the App Store draws closer, Phosphor Games is the company that made it, is continuing to pull back the curtain and give gamers a little bit of a sneak peek at Dark Meadow. They unveiled today their official site, which is thedarkmeadowgame.com, and is now live, and there's also a teaser video, which we put up for you. The in-game action, of course, is available for viewing. More information in the official full-length trailer. Yes, for the Dark Meadow, which is powered by Unreal Engine 3. They'll reveal more in the coming weeks. Dark Meadow, apparently, because you know it's my favorite word. Yes, it is a visually charged, combat intense world of exploration. You awake in a hospital, uncertain of how you arrive there or why. An old man warns of a beautiful witch whose minions roam the halls, seeking to kill the living. It is only when the witch is destroyed that you'll be released from this unrelenting torment. As you explore the photorealistic world, you need both your crossbow for ranged combat as well as your sword in close melee combat. Gesture-based pullback and fire, as well as slashing combat, will be instantly recognizable to iOS players, and node-based movement through the world makes navigation simple yet compelling. Role-playing game mechanics also enhance the exploration, as a wide variety of items are secreted throughout the world, from hidden scraps of paper that reveal the mystery of your imprisonment, to money which can be used to purchase better equipment and weapons. The Dark Meadow is hitting the App Store this month and will be available in English, French, German, Spanish, Japanese, Korean, and Italian. Damn it. And exact date.
Damn it.
It sounded right. An exact date and price will be announced shortly. I don't think they want me to give this out. Yeah, y'all might want to see it. When you send press releases, please don't put stars around stuff. To us, that means pay attention to this and read it. Not don't read it to people.
Yes.
But the trailer looks awesome. I mean, I'm impressed. The only thing I've seen that comes close to that was a zombie game I stumbled across the other night, which was really very different. It's a top-down game, top-down view, and it's all dark. And the only way you see is, you know, you have your light on your shotgun. But you have to turn your person, and, of course, you turn them by, you know, the whole gesture-based thing. And you can't see the zombies, and you have to kill them, of course, before they get close to you. You don't know which way they're coming from, and you're in a dark room. So very nice. We got some developers that are really starting to step up on these platforms, so that is fantastic that that's happening now. Fantastic. This one looks really good. So this is what we've been waiting on. We're tired of the y'all know what y'all been doing, some of y'all out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these games suck on this App Store. It pisses me off.
Y'all done did it. She used the word.
Yes. Nothing is
worse. Trouble.
Yeah, nothing is worse than just wasting my time to download a game. I don't care if it took a few seconds to do it. It's still a waste of my few seconds. I could have been playing something good. This one, you got to check it out. The trailer will suck you in. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice indeed. All right. So The House of Dead, Overkill, Extended Cut, Naked Terror revealed. Today we are proud to reveal Naked Terror, the first of two exclusive levels from the House of the Dead Overkill Extended Cut. Naked Terror has you fighting your way through a strip club, a real hardship, I know, the dark and the dirty streets of Bio City, and a backroads dive bar. Not only do you have new environments to battle your way through, but you also have new stripper exotic dancer and biker mutants to contend with. But wait, there's more. The cool aspect of this new level is is who you play as for this level G and the Wash. Play as for this level G and Wash are elsewhere, leaving you to take control of Varla Guns, previously an NPC in the House of the Dead Overkill, and I've got her up on a screenshot in GameMatrix.com. Very hot.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And her cute stripper exotic dancer friend, Candy.
I think you should be Candy, and I'll be the other girl.
Yeah, well, the other girl has two chainsaws, so that's awesome.
Okay, I'll give you one, then we'll, yeah.
Yeah. Using a host of weapons, watch your back as mutants go mad for blood. Blast bloody pieces out of their wretched bodies and uncover the mystery behind the Bayou County outbreak. New goodies like PlayStation trophies, new game modes, and new content are outnumbered by only one thing, bullets. Will you defeat everything this freakish nightmare town throws at you, or will you become mutant chowder? The House of the Dead Overkill Extended Cut will be releasing exclusively on the PlayStation 3 and will be available in stores across North America on October 25th, 2011. See, I told you, October is the best month ever. All right, so for more information, you can head over to Sega.com to check this out, or, you know, you can just go to GameMatrix.com and check it out, because we're awesome like that.
Amen. Oh, holy hell. I'm trying to watch Machinima. Okay, so we've been telling
you guys. Unclothed screenshots? What?
Hey now. Okay, so those of you who've been hearing us talk about Machinima, you can, again, pop over to Second Life and sign up for a free account. And I will be putting a link up on our site so you can sign up via there, because we like when you use us to sign up. It tells the people where you came from. Tell them you're one of our peeps. But you can also pop by the Machinima page. Once you're all logged in and got your avatar created, you can log back out, pop by the Machinima page, and see the ones that Ginger recommended right there on the front page. I don't know what Ginger does to the Second Life people, but they love her. She recommends stuff, and it stays on the front page, like, forever.
Yes, because it loves me. I'm awesome.
You recommended something to do with some elf ears or something on the main page.
Elf ears?
I don't, or something. It was something to do with a game. I don't remember. I wonder if it's still there. It's probably still there.
Second Life.
Yep, the hard. Oh no, your recent one is the Hard Lounge.
Oh yeah, that place. Yeah, it was a dubstep place, a dubstep club.
See, they love Ginger.
Really friendly, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And if you're into dubstep, which I know a lot of y'all are starting to get into, I haven't quite figured it out, but whatever.
I don't know.
That's a really nice lounge to go to and listen.
What is it?
A dubstep is type of music.
Ah. Well. I'll have to go and check it out. And I hate to be behind the trends there. All right, so people, that's going to do it for us. We got about 2 minutes left, and as much as we'd like to squeeze another news story in for you, we simply cannot. And my voice is not going to hold up. I know some of you are enjoying it, but I'm going to have to go. Sorry.
Yes.
I have to go and check out this zombie game Ginger was just talking about.
Yes. We love us some zombies.
And turn me some humans to vampires.
Yes. I got to play that one.
I want people to make me a really good MMO that's vampire-licious. I want to bite people and have them be infected. Somebody do it.
Yes. Somebody get on that. Get on that now.
Mm-hmm. You know why I'm saying that? If you guys wonder why I keep talking about vampires, we're getting together our Halloween games for you. That was such a hit last year. People love that. Did you?
Yes.
Did you play any of those games?
Yes, I did. Because we had, I think about that time. Darn it, got away. I think about that time we had the one with the prisoner.
Yes.
To kill himself. Yes.
So a lot of you love that. It's like, you're doing a Halloween thing this year? Like, God, it's like 2 months before. Okay, I'll see what I can find. So I got some good stuff for you.
Very nice.
One entire day is going to be just Second Life stuff, because I found more vampire games, believe it or not. Not Bloodlines. More.
Well, I will also, because I like doing the hunt, so I'll gather those together.
Thank you, madam. Thank you. And with that, we're going to bid you all a fond adieu.
Fond adieu.
Give the people some kisses, Ginger. Oh, she gave y'all that. That sounded kind of wet. Bad Ginger.
So bad, I'm good.
Ooh, somebody got me a caramel macchiato. Work.
Very nice.
I'm going to be crazy in about an hour.
Love Hello song. Again, friend of a friend. I knew you were.
You know what? I'm not to teach you how to be a gas station diva with this song.
Yes.
See, some girls out there know what gas station diva is. It's when you get out of the car, put your gas in, and before you leave, you turn on something like this. You put on your lip gloss, you straighten your hair, put on your sunglasses, and you toss the cute smile at whoever's at the gas station. It don't matter if you're a guy, girl, whatever. Get your feel out.
Hell yeah.
I need sleep. All right. We are so out of here, people. We love you.
We are so out of here. Later, boys and girls. Mwah, mwah, mwah.